Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Hope you're having a great Friday, everyone. It's November 20th, and this is the LA Report. I'm Leo Duran. On today's show, we'll talk about how the pandemic is impacting enrollment at local universities. Then we'll talk to a local artist about his experience with lingering health issues for months after he recovered from his bout with coronavirus. Also, why nearly 750,000 Californians may be about to lose their unemployment benefits, and a rare inquest involving the killing of an 18-year-old man by LA County Sheriff's deputies in June. We start today with universities and COVID-19's impact on enrollment for a particular segment of the student body. With more, here's higher education reporter Adolfo Guzman Lopez.
Well, a report out this week shows international student enrollment at U.S. universities has dropped slightly. These are last year's numbers. So I dug around to find out what's going on at Southern California colleges and universities. And I found out that international student enrollment shot up about a decade ago. For example, at UCLA, international student enrollment doubled between the fall of 2010 and the fall of 2018. Now, it's important to note that these students' high tuition ended up subsidizing other students' education. But the question is, what's behind the current enrollment drop? Well, an administrator at Santa Monica College told me that their enrollment drop of international students is due in part to their inability to adapt to the shift to online learning. Now, this is the tech, the time zones change, and being away from an English-speaking environment. I talked to a UCLA international student from China, and she said her friends don't like the xenophobic rhetoric in the United States. Now, this is something college administrators are keeping an eye on because many public institutions are expecting budget cuts next fiscal year.
The majority of people who get infected with coronavirus develop mild symptoms or no symptoms at all, and they typically recover after a couple of weeks. But among the millions who have gotten ill, many have suffered long-term and sometimes debilitating heart, lung, and nervous system impairments, and experts say they still don't know why. Our Jackie Fortier spoke to a local artist who's been dealing with lingering health issues 8 months after his first diagnosis.
When we focus on statistics, it can be really easy to lose sight of COVID-19's impact on every single person that gets sick. I first spoke with Tobin Nichols in late April when he was recovering from spending a month in bed. And like a lot of people at the beginning of the pandemic, he couldn't get tested and he wasn't sick enough to be hospitalized, so he just toughed it out at home. When I checked in 8 months later, Nichols told me he still has breathing problems and says his lungs just don't feel the way they did before he had coronavirus. He also has neurological problems, including the COVID-19 brain fog that he described to me as bouts of time when everything becomes frozen. We know that the coronavirus affects almost every system in the body, and there are millions of other people like Nichols who have technically recovered, but months and months later are still suffering the effects of the virus.
According to new research, nearly 750,000 Californians will lose their unemployment benefits next month unless Congress acts soon. Two federal pandemic assistance programs end on December 26th, and that could put a severe financial strain on thousands of households and potentially undermine the state's economic recovery. With more, here's economic reporter David Wagner.
Yeah, there's new research out that estimates 750,000 Californians will lose their unemployment benefits next month if Congress doesn't act soon. And that's because we're heading for this so-called unemployment cliff. It's going to come on December 26th when those two federal programs are set to expire. If lawmakers don't renew them, hundreds of thousands of Californians are going to face severe financial hardship. And that could also undermine the state's broader economic recovery. I spoke with the researchers who came up with this estimate, and they said that non-white workers are more likely to fall off this unemployment cliff next month. You know, this is a time when job prospects are really low, COVID cases are surging, But it does look like many workers are going to have to make these kind of tough choices pretty soon.
And finally, the LA County coroner is holding an inquest into the killing of Andres Guardado. The 18-year-old was shot in the back and killed by an LA sheriff deputy back in June. The inquest is the first in LA in more than 30 years. Here's public safety reporter Frank Stoltz on its impact and significance.
Yeah, coroner's inquests indeed are extremely rare. One of the last ones was in 1981 when the death of Cal State Long Beach running back Ron Settles was ruled a homicide, not a suicide, as Signal Hill police officers had claimed. They said he had found him. They had found him hanging in a jail. But inquests have no bearing on criminal prosecution. And in the Settles case, the DA, as it often does, decided the officers were not criminally liable, outraging activists at the time. Some of the key questions around the shooting of Andres Guardado by a sheriff's deputy, the deputy says he reached for a gun, but why were all five shots into Guardado's back? And what happened to security camera video that may have captured the shooting just outside Compton? The inquest is largely driven by the Board of Supervisors' frustration over Sheriff Alex Villanueva's refusal to allow the Inspector General more access to observe deputy shooting investigations. It's also, of course, driven by the George Floyd protests, which have demanded more scrutiny of police. A prominent Black judge, retired Appeals Court Justice Candace Cooper, will preside over the inquest. She'll also issue its findings.
Thanks for listening to today's LA Report. Our reporting is made possible by listeners like you. Please donate today at laist.com/donate to keep local news strong during this uncertain time. That's laist.com/donate. We'll have another report for you on Monday. Until then, be safe. I'm Leo Duran. The LA Report is produced Monday through Friday. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And for up-to-date news around the clock, tell your Alexa device to launch LAist or check in at laist.com/latest. That's laist.com/latest.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.